Well, good morning, church family. I'm so glad that you're here today, and it's time to get into God's Word today. Amen. We love God's Word. We understand that God's Word changes us. We understand that God's Word grows us up, that God's Word matures us and brings us to the place that God wants to be. And so let's just pray and ask God to minister to us today in this message. Even though it's by video, online, we're just believing that you're going to be touched today by today's message. And this message that God really dropped into my heart Monday of this week because of some things that I was experiencing with others in our church and things that they were going through, I believe is going to affect this whole church. And so praise God for that. And so let's just ask the Lord to move in this and have His way. Amen. And let's put aside distractions today, put aside those things that would keep you focused on Facebook or YouTube or any of those other things. If you're not watching us online, naturally, you need to be there. But you know what I'm saying. So let's just ask the Lord to move today. Father God, it is a privilege for me to speak this word. And I believe this word is going to change our hearts. I believe this word is going to change our church. For your word says that it never returns void. Lord, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross. I ask, God, that you would speak through me today, that it would not be my words that are heard, but it would be your words. Yes, you're going to use my voice. You're going to use my emotions and those types of things. But beyond that, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would just hear your voice speaking to us so clearly and so loudly, Lord. Father, let your anointing be upon this word. Holy Spirit, we need you today. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of revelation. And we ask that you would reveal things to each and every heart today. We ask that you would leave this place today touched by this word. And not just touched, but changed. And so, God, have your way today, Father, Lord. Let us get it. Let us receive it. And let us live it, Father. As we just commit this time into your hands today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, OSL students, our series is Living in Denial. The series is Living in Denial. And the message today is entitled Selective Hearing. Series Living in Denial, message for the day, Selective Hearing. Where did this year go? Amen? Think about it. Who can believe that we're now on the first Sunday of November? And really, if we count today, we only have 8 more Sundays left in this year. It's going to go by really quick. You know, you sneeze and you're tearing off a day of your calendar, and you get involved in something, you're tearing off a month off. And soon, as this church has been involved in so much this year, we find us tearing a whole nother calendar year off. But praise God, God is faithful. But I say that to say this, with the holidays approaching, naturally, I want to turn my message themes towards the holidays, towards Thanksgiving and towards Christmas. I like to do that in this time of year because it really ministers to us. But we still have stuff to do in the theme of this year of 2021. Now, the theme for next year, if you want to know what it is, the theme for next year, 2022, is going to be, let me think for a second, I know what it is, full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit. But we want to finish this theme out this year, and we want to do it properly and make sure that God has spoken to us. So, let's look at a couple more messages that really, this message, or these next two or three messages, have come because of something I was experiencing this week. Monday night, God put this upon my heart, and I began to develop it because of people that wanted to draw closer to God. And I know that they're not the only ones. I know that as this message is spoken in the next couple weeks, that there are going to be many hearts that are touched. So I please ask you to give me your attention today, because I think it's really going to be advantageous to you and your walk with the Lord. We know our theme scriptures for the year, Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Again, our theme for the year has been living in denial. And Jesus here is telling his disciples and his followers that there is a price to following him. We understand that. And I want to be very clear that each and every service, after the service, I try to give a call or an invitation to accept Jesus Christ and for you to commit your lives to him and accept him as your Savior. And I promise you that I will never do that with the thought of, hey, once you do this, life is going to be a bed of roses. I will never set you up like that, because all of us have found out that once we accept Jesus, sometimes life even gets a little harder. What I will promise you, though, is what Jesus promised each and every one of us. that as his children, he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Can anybody say amen? Praise God. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So it is a fantastic decision to make. He says that there is a dying to self that must take place. And that means not just a dying to self, but a dying to everything that the self loved. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're talking about. But in that dying, he also teaches us that there is a new life that sprouts up. In John 12, 24 to 26, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And so we have learned this year that the more we die, the more we become alive in Jesus Christ. The greater disciple we have the ability to become. The less distractions we will tend to fall into. The greater our focus will be on the eternity that we are going to rather than just the life that we are living here. We've also learned that when we truly die to ourselves, that we have an exceptional power to face our enemy. We not only die to ourselves, but Satan dies to us. We die to his enticements. We die to his traps. We die to the pull that he has on our lives. We begin to speak differently out of our mouths about the situations and the problems that we face. And we even look at those situations and problems differently. Why? Because no longer are we giving him the glory for what he's doing in our lives. Oh, look what the enemy did to me. Oh, that stinking devil. Look what he did to me. No longer are we talking like that. We begin to deny him the glory of our lives. And we begin to give God the glory in a greater dimension and in a greater way. Can anybody say amen? So praise God for that. And as we saw last week, we can deny him any access to our homes, and we can see our lives and families changed by the power of Jesus Christ. That is, we can see life and power of Jesus Christ in our marriages and have them changed. We can see the life and power and of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ in our children's lives and see them changed, see them kept from the things of this world. And praise God, we will see the power and the glory of Jesus Christ affect and change our church, our family here. Amen. If you've been attending this family for any amount of time, if you're visiting with us today, we want you to know we will look at you as family. This is a family. That's what our church sign says out by the road, a church family. This morning, I want to continue that, and I want to talk about denying something else in our lives. And I want to talk about the many voices around us that bring distractions. I want to talk about the things around us, the voices that are speaking to us in our world that bring unfocused living. And I want to talk about denying those things, turning a deaf ear to those things. Maybe that's the term you want to use, or cutting ourselves off from those things. One of the things that, and this is where this message and these messages have come from. One of the things that came out of our Sunday night OSL class and then our men's prayer on Monday night was that people want to learn to hear more clearer in their lives, to hear God more clearer in their lives. It excites this pastor's heart. When five men come together for prayer, we should have had more, but thank God for the five that are holding us together. When these five men come out for prayer and they say, "Pastor, we want to pray that we would begin to hear God's voice clearer, that we would know God's voice, that we would be able to be obedient to God's voice and be able to separate God's voice from the voices of this world." That excites my heart because listen to me, men, if you're not attending our prayer meetings, you need to be there. But listen to me, something is happening in those prayer meetings, but listen. Men, we need to be hearing the voice of God in the days that we're living in. Our families are depending on it. Our jobs are depending on it. Our relationships are depending on it. It is very important. So please, men, begin to pray these same things as we've been praying. God, teach us to listen to your voice. Teach us to obey your voice. Teach us to be able to separate your voice from all the voices. So there are lists written about how to hear God's voice. You can do an internet search today when you go home. How do I listen to God's voice? And you're going to hear sermons, and you're going to hear lists, and you're going to hear pamphlets and PDF files and books that are all written on how to listen to God's voice in a more dynamic way. I don't think that we need to go buy all of those books. I don't think we need to read all of those things. You can. I'm not saying not to. Be careful, because some people are talking in different ways than what we really believe. You got to be really careful in that. But I do believe that there should be something that God teaches us from His Word. And that's what I'm believing for these two or three messages. I don't know how they're going to develop, whether it's two or whether it's 3 weeks. But I'm believing that this is going to help each and every one of us begin to clarify, oh, that's God speaking to me. Oh, that's not God speaking to me. And so praise God. So what I'm saying is, we need to learn to deny the voices around you. You need to learn to deny the voices around you. We need to learn to deny the voices around us. Or better yet, stop listening to the voices around you. Stop listening to those things that aren't positive. Stop listening to those things that are tearing you down. Stop listening to those things that are leading you astray and leading you away from God. Again, that brings up the point that we need to know the voice of God. How can we stop listening to those voices if we don't know what voice to listen to? And so it's kind of this tricky thing here today that I want to preach about. And so it's going to take me a little bit of time. So I can tell you, we're not going to have a lot accomplished this morning at the end of this, but at least we're going to be heading somewhere. So I hope that you'll join in for these 2 or 3 weeks and hear what God is speaking to you. We need to know the voice of God, because how will we know what voice belongs to who? This is true, but again, I switch it back. And I first want to make sure that we each understand how many different voices we have speaking to us. How many different voices there are out there. Those other voices may be in our families. Our families speak to us. We hear things from people who aren't saved, people who aren't serving Jesus. There may be voices on the television. They may be the news stations that we listen to that are speaking and pulling our attention and distracting us from the things of God. These voices are found on the internet. In all different types of places, not just social media, though they are there loudly and clearly. Please don't be one of those voices. As a believer, do not be one of those voices. Let's bring Jesus to the internet and not all of these other things. So they're found on the internet. They're found in movies that we watch. They're found in TV shows that we watch. They're found in Facebook posts and Snapchats. And I'm just listing a few here. But what I'm trying to do is get your mind focused on, wow, there are a lot of voices that are coming my way. There are a lot of things that I'm listening to, and I'm not sure how to listen to God, but I sure am listening to these things. That's what I want to provoke in you today. That's what I want to stir in you today. This realization of, wow, there's a lot that's coming at me, and I don't even realize it most of the time. But when it comes down to Scripture, church, all of these voices, everything that we hear, can be designated down to two sources, one of two sources. And that is either it's God's voice, okay, or it's Satan's voice. It's either God using the internet to speak to us. That can happen. Today that's happening as people are watching us online. So it's either that happening, or it's Satan speaking to us through the internet. It's either God speaking to us through our television set. I'm not sure how that can happen a lot today in today's society. Or it's Satan speaking to us. So we got to be mindful of these things. All of these voices come down to just two different voices. John 10:1-5. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Here we see Jesus speaking about himself, saying, not that he's a thief and a robber, he's setting this up in comparison. He's saying that he is the true door. And there's a whole lot that goes along with that. We don't have time for that today. There's a series of messages that you will listen to in OSL. I think it's level 3 or level 4 called The God Man. And when you get a hold of that, that's going to be amazing. And this will set all of this up so well. But this is Jesus saying, I'm the true one. But there is somebody else out there that wants to lead you astray. There is somebody else out there that wants you to believe that it's them. Remember last week we talked about the false prophets, where Paul says, I take off the mask, so that you will see the false prophets for who they are. They can no longer look like me or teach like me, because they won't live like me. So let's go back. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up to some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Listen, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus is very clear here, my church family, my brothers and sisters. Jesus is very clear here to say that God most certainly does speak to his people. And I want to add to that today, even today. Even today, God still speaks to his people. There are people out there that believe God doesn't speak anymore. There are people out there that believe God silenced himself. There are some who teach that God created this earth and then left it, went away from it so that it would just work on its own and figure its own way, and maybe someday he'd come back and deal with it or whatever he wanted to do. That's not the God whom we serve. That's not the God that the Holy Scriptures talk about. The God that the Holy Scriptures talks about still speaks to his people. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us, so that he can speak to our spirit from a spiritual aspect and from a spiritual connection. And so God does speak, and Jesus is very clear here to say God speaks. Not only that, but when God speaks, his people know his voice. Amen. So many would say, well, Pastor, God never spoke to me. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. If you are a born-again believer, you have already heard God's voice. It convicted you of your sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, and his voice led you to your place of salvation, whether that was at a bedside, whether that was in your car, whether it was on your face flat on the floor, whether it was at the altar of the church, or whether it was at a friend's house, or watching a TV show where somebody led you to Christ, or right now, as at the end of this service, I'll always say, usually, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Whatever it is, that's God's voice stirring up your heart and saying, I'm drawing you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking to you. The reason why you need to serve me, he starts to convict us of our sin. That's God again. That's the Holy Spirit again, convicting us. Oh, this is wrong. This is not right in your life. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be settled. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had anyone just pop into your thinking, into your mind, and you just know at that moment that you need to pray for them? Anybody that ever happened? You can raise your hands. I can't see them, you know, because I'm not live there today, but you can raise your hands. Let other people see. It has, right? Do you know? You just heard God's voice when that happened. Have you ever been prompted to tell someone about Jesus? Raise your hand if that's happened. Amen. Guess what? You have heard God's voice. He spoke to you. He ministered to you. He let you hear his voice. Now, I know that these things, even though they are significant, when we're talking about hearing the voice of God, sometimes they don't seem as significant because we really want to hear clearly, right? But I just want to let you know that you have heard God's voice. God does speak, and you did hear it. Or you wouldn't have been here today. You wouldn't have come to the place of salvation. You wouldn't have come to the place where you're ministering to other people. But let's get back to the point. There are two voices out there. You're either listening to the voice of God, or you're listening to the voice of Satan. Down in John 10, just a little further, down in John 10:10, it's the scripture of this church. This is what we read. Listen to what Jesus says. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So a very simple way to distinguish between the voices, church, is simply listen to what they are saying. Jesus sets it up here in John 10:10. He says, one voice comes to rob, to kill, to destroy. The other voice comes to bring life and life more abundantly. So if the voices that are speaking to your life speak about theft, speak about destruction, speak about negativity, you can be sure today 100% that you are not hearing God's voice. Because that's not what God came to do. That's not what Jesus came to do. That is Satan's voice. I don't care if it's the internet. I don't care if it's the TV. I don't care if it's even somebody who says they're a Christian. If that's what's coming to you, then that is not of God. Does that make sense? Therefore, if that's the case, then if they are speaking abundant life, if they are speaking direction, if they are speaking guidance to wholeness and to a full life, then you can be very sure that it is God who you are hearing. And I would say, jump on it and follow it. You see, when those voices of negativity begin to whisper in your ear, and we're going to talk about three ways to deny them today, but when those voices of negativity begin to whisper to your ear, listen. First point, deny them access with the promises of God. That's the word of God. Getting into the word of God. Deny them access to your hearing by speaking the promises of God over what they're saying. This is using the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit right here. It's what the Bible tells us, the Word of God. So it's using the sword of the Spirit. It's closing off our spiritual ears to condemnation. It's closing off our spiritual hearing to fear and to shame and to doubt. It's blocking our hearing. It's blocking our receptivity to words of jealousy, words of hatred. And it's opening our ears to hear God's acceptance, to hear God's love, and to hear God's purpose for your life. Just a couple examples today. We don't have to, you know the word, or you should know the word. If you don't, just do a quick Google search of words of promise from God. And I guarantee you, the scriptures will just open up to you, because the whole word of God is promises to us. But think of these. If something's coming against you, if you hear those voices of negativity, you hear those voices of destruction, you hear those voices of shame and guilt, think about Romans 1:8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so that says, no matter what that voice is saying to you about guilt and shame, the Bible says here in Romans 1:8 that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, praise God, we should all get happy about that. There should be some clapping in this place. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, every condemnation, every shame, every guilt is taken away. There is none in those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we no longer walk according to the things of the flesh, but we are walking to the things of the Spirit. In other words, the old man has died, like this whole series has been talking about, denial of self, and we are now walking in the things of Jesus. This is what Romans is all about. Paul sets it out really straight. There should be no condemnation. However, if you're not dying to the flesh, then yes, that voice will still perk up, that voice will still speak, and that voice will still bring destruction and death to your life. Then we have Hebrews 4:16. Here's another one. Maybe Satan's trying to tell you God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. Look, the things you did, God could never forgive you. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, oh no, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God does love you. He cares for you. He sent his son to die for you. And in his dying, tore the veil that separated God and man. And now every one of us, we don't need a priest. We don't need a pastor. We can come boldly before the throne room of God. We can drop to our knees. We can pray. We can worship God alone and just come in and say, Jesus, here I am, and have all you... Excuse me. Have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, that should get you happy today. Amen? Praise God. God is good all the time, and God loves you. Listen, out of all the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon we have. Everything else is defensive. This is the weapon that we strike out with. And that's why you need to be in your word. That's why you need to be lifting the sword. That's why you need to be polishing the sword up and keeping it strong and keeping it powerful. It's made for the attack. And not just the attack, but it's made for a very powerful attack. It is a guide for living, hallelujah. It is the history of the world. When we read the history of the world here, you know what we see? We don't see just history of mankind. We see his story. History. It's God's story. History of man is God's story. God created us. God put us here. God prepared all of this. It's his story. It is a picture of who God is. It is a picture of how God works. And you know what? Best of all, it is a love story. In it, God tells us how much he loves us. God tells how much he loves you. He tells us the things that he has done for us, how he sent his son to die for us and rose him back again from the dead and gave him life again so that he could have victory and give us the victory. And then God also reminds us over and over again in this precious love letter that he wrote to us, this precious love letter, the way that he wants to be with us all the time. Come on. When you read those things, and I don't mean just reading words, I mean when you really get into the Word of God in a way that places those things in your heart, there's transference. There's transference, because this is a living book. There's transference from the Word of this page into my heart. When that happens, when your heart begins to hear the love of God for yourself, those voices will have to silence themselves. Amen. They won't be able to say you're wretched. They won't be able to say you'll never be this. They won't be able to tell you that God doesn't love you, because you're going to sense God's love in your heart. Hallelujah. OSL level one, when it comes next year, please take it. Learn about how much God really loves you. Secondly, we deny those voices a platform in our lives by finding times and places of silence. By finding times and places of silence. Oh, silence. Every parent wants it. Never happens when kids are in the house. However, when it does happen and the kids move out, then we don't want it. Many of us are afraid of silence. Why are we afraid of silence? Silence is a good thing, man. I love sleeping in a place where there's no noise. Of course, I love sleeping in a place where there's noise, because apparently my wife and I run a fan every night because we're used to that drone of fans. Matter of fact, we travel with a fan now because we have to have a fan. But I love silence. I love that quietness. See, we don't know how to handle it. I guess that's why we need the fan. We don't know how to handle silence. People listen to their headphones as they go to sleep. We don't know how to handle silence. We're afraid of it. Especially, listen, we're especially afraid of silence when it means that we come face to face with the living Creator and the God of this universe. That's when we really fear silence. I get it. Because of my relationship with Pastor Dennis Scheer, through all the years that I've known him now, and they've been a lot of years, I have found myself in the presence, because of the relationships that he has and the avenues and the places that he ministers and the people that he has rubbed shoulders with, I have found myself in the presence of some very powerful people of the faith. Can I tell you that when Pastor Dennis introduces me to them, I don't know what to say sometimes. I don't know how to say it if I do know what to say. Sometimes I feel inferior to them because, man, these are men who I've read about. These are women who have written books and who people are following by the thousands. And I'm sitting with them at Applebee's. I'm sitting there with them in a chair in their house. Pastor Dennis took me into Dr. Rolf McPherson's house one night. Oh, I was just beyond myself. It was amazing to be there and hear the stories of his mother, Amy Smith McPherson, who started our denomination, and just to see the pictures spread out on the table and him telling about them. But what do you do in those situations? And now, it's not people we're talking about. Now we come into this place, this presence of the Almighty God. And it's nobody else, it's just you, it's just me and him, right? It's our prayer place, it's our silent place. This is, listen, we get thinking, this is the God who set the universes in place with just a word. This is the Creator of our bodies, all humankind. He's the Creator of our souls and our minds and our spirits. He knows how they work. He gets it. No other doctors really understand it. They say they do, but they don't. This is the one who holds all things in his hands. This is the one who moves all things around as he desires for it to happen. And we are with him alone in our prayer closet. We are with him alone in that room. We are with him alone at that moment. And there is silence, and we don't know how to do it. But we need silence, church. We need silence. Because silence is good. Silence sets up a great atmosphere for God to speak. Do you want to know how to really hear the voice of God? This would be my first point, and I'm not there. It's going to be next week, but this would be my first point. I'm bringing it out today. Silence. Find a place of silence and be still, the Bible says, and know that I am God. So what am I saying? I'm saying leave your phones out of your prayer closet. Leave them out. Leave your tablets out of your prayer room, out of wherever you pray, wherever that closet is. Leave them out. Shut them off. And don't even shut them off. Just leave them out. And put them on silent so you won't hear them ring or buzz in another room. If you have your Bible on your phone, if you have your Bible on your tablet, I'm going to tell you something right now, key to being alone with God. Buy a paper book Bible. One with words, one like this, that you can take into the room. Because you know what? As you're reading this and as God is dealing with you from this, a text isn't going to pop up. A notification isn't going to pop up. And you're not going to be distracted. It's going to be you and the Word of God. You don't have that on your phone and you don't have that on your tablet, even though you have a Bible on it. telling you, get a book Bible, a real book Bible. Use your phone as much as you want when you're traveling with it, but get a real book Bible for your personal devotional time and let God speak. Mark it up, write in it, and let God speak. Some of you have Bibles that are written all over. Brother Ron Link, his Bible says, pray before opening, or open with prayer. There's two I've seen. Brother Bill has one too, and they both say the same thing, but a different wording. But when they open them, you can see they're underlined, they're highlighted, they're written in. Why? Because God has spoken. Don't tell me God doesn't speak. You didn't write those things by yourself. So leave your phones outside. Leave your tablets outside. Get a real Bible. Worship music is great, but shut it off. What? Shut it off when you get into your prayer closets. Because there's always a chance that something will come through. Either if you're online listening to music, or sometimes a song can snap you back to a time that maybe God doesn't want you to be at that moment. Listen, worship's great. If you want to start your devotional time, if you want to start your prayer with God, your silent time with worship, then play a little bit of worship, sing a few songs, but then when it's done, shut it off and get it out of the room and just make it you and God. Come on, I'm telling you things, and I know some of you are saying, oh, come on, I need noise when I do it. No, that's the problem. That's why we can't hear God, because of the noise around us. Worship's great. Worship leads us into His presence. But once you're there, it's an audience with the King, and no disturbances should be allowed. Try to be in a place where there's no people. Moms, I get it. That's a hard thing to do if you're home with the kids. I get it. But try to be in a place where there are no people. Try to be at a time when there will be no distractions. I know we can't plan our distractions, but try to plan it the best you can. And silence your own spirit to hear what the Lord would say to you. Come on, I pray this is good. I pray this is affecting your heart today. You know, sometimes we think we need to say something. No, silence your spirit. Hear from God. Sometimes we think that the silence means nothing is going to happen. I'm telling you, silence is great. Something will happen. God will move. Yeah, but Pastor, it feels like an eternity. It was only 2 minutes. I get that. And that's why we need to learn to wait on God. We don't like to wait. If that Big Mac comes out of that McDonald's 2 minutes longer than when we ordered it, we're upset. And God doesn't move like McDonald's. And God isn't a Burger King God. He doesn't let us have it our way. You hear what I'm saying? He wants it His way. And so you're going to have to get into a prayer closet sometimes, and you're going to have to get into a silent place, and you're going to have to just let the world just dissolve off of you for a while and just say, okay, God, here I am. And just let it happen and wait and wait and wait, and all of a sudden God is going to show up. But I guarantee this to you, that if you will create a space for God in your life, God will always fill it. The bigger space you make, the more of God you get. The less space you make, the less of God you get. And He will fill it more powerfully than you could ever imagine, church. And you know what else? Don't bring a watch or a clock in that room. If there is a clock in that room, throw it out. What am I saying? Don't worry about time. We're so worried about time. Third point today. We deny those voices when we don't give them the time of day and allow them to consume our time. A lot of times there, isn't it? We deny those voices when we don't give them the time of day and allow them to consume our time. Listen, this is why I say it like that. Rest assured today that the enemy of your soul knows just how important time is to you. He understands it. He also understands how that fact that time is so important to you makes us worry about our time. Am I going to have enough time to do this? Oh my gosh, how am I going to get this done? Or am I going to live long enough to do that? Am I going to see that in my grandchildren? Am I going to see grandchildren? He understands that, and he works in that, and he messes that up in our lives. Listen to me. You may never have prayed and communed with God before. And maybe you have the idea, maybe because of this message, or maybe God's already been stirring and saying, I need some time with you. And maybe you just have this idea that you're going to start, I'm going to start with 5 minutes, God. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Great, but leave an hour. What? Leave an hour. Maybe you have 15 minutes in now. I mean, you every 15 minutes a day you're spending with God, and you want to up that, and you say, I'm going to bring it to 25 minutes. Can I tell you? Leave an hour. But don't take a clock with you to prayer. If you are up to 5 minutes in your prayer life, praise God. If you're up to 20 minutes in your prayer life, praise God. If you're up to 45 minutes in your prayer life, praise God. But I want to know this, if you're looking at time, then that's the only time you're ever going to get, because that's the only time you're going to carve out. And you're going to be looking at a clock, and you're going to be looking at your phone, because you know, okay, I only have 5 minutes today. Okay, I only had 20 minutes today. Okay, I only had 15 minutes today. That's why you need to leave an hour. That's why you need to leave 2 hours. Just carve time out for God. Don't go to your prayer closet in a rush. Carve time out for God. Give it to Him. But Pastor, I got a busy life. I only have 5 minutes. No. If you only have 5 minutes for God, then expect only 5 minutes of Him in that day. Create time and say, I'm going in there with this mindset. I have cleared my schedule. I know that I can have this much time, but I'm going further. I'm not going to count time. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to spend time with God. And I believe my mindset is that I'm coming out after God has spoken. And I'm not coming out until God speaks. Well, Pastor, I might be in there for a week. If you're in there for a week, then trust God. That's what you need. Your time will be blessed. Now, I get we got jobs, and I get we got families, but folks, the one nice thing about OSL, and every student loves it, they complain about it at first, and some never take OSL because of it, is because we're going to ask you to put away things that are taking time from God, and the only reason why you have 5, 10, 20 minutes to give to God because of those things, we're going to say put them aside for 5 weeks, for 7 weeks, and I guarantee the people who have done it have loved it and have grown in the Lord because of it. Let's take on, here's what I'm saying. Let's take on the same mindset that Joshua had with God, with spending time with God. Over in Exodus 33:11, listen to what the Bible says. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Listen to this. Moses would go in, and Moses would converse with God, and God would tell Moses how to lead the people. And I don't know how long that conversation went, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But when Moses was done speaking with God, Moses brushed himself off and went back home. You know who stayed? Joshua stayed. God wasn't even speaking to Joshua. God was there to speak to Moses, but Joshua stayed. Joshua understood, and this is what we need to understand if we're going to hear God's voice. Joshua understood that time with God was important. Even if it wasn't his time with God, it was important. Listen, even time after God spoke was important to Joshua. God had finished speaking. God didn't speak again. Joshua stayed. God and Moses were done. Moses leaves. Joshua stayed because Joshua wanted the residue of the presence all over his life. Joshua recognized that wherever God moves, wherever God speaks, there's a residue, there's something left behind of the power of God, and Joshua stayed in it. Just because you think that your time is done in your prayer life, just because you think that the conversation is done and you don't hear God anymore, that doesn't mean that your life still can't be impacted by where you are and the time that you spend in it, because God moved there. God is moving there. God will continue to move there. There is a residue of God's power. There is a residue of God's grace. There is a residue of God's Spirit that affects everything even after He leaves that place. And if you need proof, guess who God picks as the one who will lead the nation of Israel into the promised land after God's done with Moses? Who do you think He picks? He picks the one with the residue of God's presence all over his life. He picks the one who spent time in the presence of God after God was done talking. He picks Joshua. Untimed, I don't even know if it's a word, but untimed time with God is amazing. OSL students, you should write that down. If somebody else is here in your Bible, you have your Bible, you have your phone out, you should write this down. Untimed time with God is amazing. Desire it in your time with Him, in your personal time with Him. Desire it in your life. I am. I'm going to. We are going to end here today, and I will pick this up next week when I'm with you. I am sorry to leave you hanging, but listen, we need to silence the enemy's voices before we can hear God's. And so I needed to go here today, and I needed to set this up today. I needed to talk to you about denying the voices around us, setting up time for God so that God can speak, and God will speak, and God will move in our lives. Amen? And so we will talk about how to better hear God's voice next Sunday. I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll join us online. This is going to be a series that changes your life. Praise God.